Chapter 18. Frank's Alibi.
A formidable array of witnesses to corroborate Frank's alibi were introduced. Miss Helen Curran of 160 Ashby Street appeared in the case for the first time and testified that she saw Frank in front of a drugstore, Whitehall and Alabama Streets, at 10 minutes after 1 o'clock. Mrs. M. G. Michael of Athens, an aunt of Mrs. Lucille Frank, who was visiting at the home of her sister, Mrs. C. Wolfsheimer, 387 Washington Street, a few blocks from Frank's home, declared that she had seen the factory superintendent about 2 o'clock on the afternoon of the day of the murder as he was leaving his home on his way back to the pencil factory. She was corroborated by Jerome Michael, her son. Mrs. A. B. Levy testified that she had seen Frank get off a Georgia Avenue streetcar half a block from his home at 1:20 p.m. Cohen Loeb testified that he had ridden downtown with Frank on a Washington streetcar, and H. J. Hinchey corroborated this witness when he said he had seen him aboard the streetcar a few minutes after 2 o'clock. Hinchey was in his automobile when he looked up and saw Frank through the window of the car. Miss Rebecca Carson declared that she and her sister had seen Frank in front of the store of M. Rich and Brothers in Whitehall Street about 2:20 p.m., and 30 minutes later at Whitehall and Alabama Streets. Frank had been watching the Decoration Day parade in the interim, according to his statement. A number of former employees of the factory were called in to testify that they had never seen improper conduct on the part of Frank, nor anybody else connected with the factory. One youth who had once been employed as an office boy declared that on last Thanksgiving Day, when Conley said he had watched for Frank, had worked for the Negro in the box room on the fourth floor of the factory. He was corroborated in this by Herbert Schiff. Several friends of the Salig family were called to testify that Frank had exhibited no signs of nervousness on the night of Saturday, April 26th. They declared that they had been guests of Mr. and Mrs. Salig, his father and mother-in-law, and that Frank, although he took no part in the card game, composedly read a paper. On one occasion, they asserted, he called the attention of the card players to a joke he had come across in the paper. On cross-examination of these witnesses, Solicitor Dorsey attempted to bring out the fact that Frank attempted to appear too carefree on this night and to attract the attention of those present when he laughed so vociferously. On the afternoon of Saturday, August 16th, Mrs. Ray Frank took the stand in her son's behalf. She was called to identify a letter bearing the date of April 26th, which was supposed to have been written by her son. It was addressed to his wealthy uncle, Mr. Frank, who at that time was in New York on his way to Europe. Here is the letter. Atlanta, Georgia, April 26, 1913. Dear Uncle, I trust that this finds you and dear Auntie well after arriving safely in New York. I hope that you found all the dear ones well in Brooklyn, and I await a letter from you telling me how you found things there. Lucille and I are well. It is too short a time since you left for anything startling to have developed down here. The opera has Atlanta in its grip, but that ends today. I've heard a rumor that opera will not be given again in a hurry here. Today was wonderful here, and the thin gray lines of veterans, smaller each year, braved the chilly weather to do honor to their fallen comrades. Enclosed you will find last week's report. The shipments still keep up well, though the result is not what one would wish. There is nothing new in the factory, etc., to report. Enclosed, please find the price list you desired. Next letter from me you should get on board ship. After that I will write to the address you gave me in Frankfurt. Much love to you both, in which Lucille joins me. I am your affectionate nephew, Leo M. Frank. The communication formed another link in Frank's time alibi, as well as tending to show that he was laboring under no extraordinary mental strain on the afternoon of the murder. Friday afternoon, the defense announced that it had called 100 more witnesses to testify as to the good character of Frank. The majority of them turned out to be girls employed on the fourth floor of the pencil factory. Conley, in one of his statements, had asserted that the girl with whom he had caught Frank in an unnatural position was employed in this part of the factory. Mrs. E. H. Carson was one of the first of these witnesses to be called. She testified that Frank's character was good, and that she had never heard a word of criticism against him about the factory. She was followed by many other women employees of the factory, who testified that, so far as they knew, the character of their superintendent was beyond reproach. To all of them, Attorney Arnold put this question: "Have you ever at any time met Leo M. Frank, the defendant, in the factory or anywhere else, for an immoral purpose?" In every instance, the answer to this question was emphatically in the negative. One woman became so perturbed when the question was put to her that she declared she would die for her superior. Miss Irene Jackson was called by the defense as a character witness, but the prosecution drew from her startling testimony. She declared that on at least three occasions, to her personal knowledge, Frank had come to the door of the girls' dressing room on the second floor of the factory and stood looking at the occupants of the room. Miss Jackson declared that not always were the girls in these apartments fully robed when the superintendent looked in. Harley Branch, a reporter for the Atlanta Journal, was called to tell of an interview with Conley when the latter was confined to the county jail. He declared that Conley had denied several weeks after the murder seeing Lemmy Quinn enter the factory on Saturday, April 26. On cross-examination, Solicitor Dorsey developed the fact that the witness had been with the city detectives when James Conley reenacted in pantomime the concealing of the body on the day of the crime. His aim was to refute the testimony of Dr. William Owens. Branch said that Conley had taken approximately half an hour to go through his movements on that day. Nearly every one of the employees connected with the factory said that Conley had a bad character and that they would not believe him on oath. Several of the girls cited instances when they had loaned him money and he had failed to repay it.